It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour. Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only fantasy podcast that focuses on our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Chaz. I'm in San Francisco. Unfortunately, Birdman is feeling still a little under the weather, too sick to take visitors at the moment. So I'm so close, but yet so far from our precious Birdman and my opponent this week.
Yeah. I bet you were looking forward to playing some Overcooked.
I was looking forward to playing anything with Mike. we played a bunch of board games on my last visit, any one of them I could easily become obsessed with, the way I was obsessed with Mario Strikers back in the day.
Which games did you play?
We played. So we did play Overcooked. We played Quicks. But we also played Ticket to Ride.
Okay, good game.
I had played Ticket to Ride before, so that wasn't my first time playing that. And we played the disease spreading game, whatever that one was. Pandemic, yeah. Yep. We played that one. Yep. Which was a little confusing to grasp all the rules of at first, but when I got the hang of it, I liked it. I still don't understand quite how we won the game, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy both those games very much. Those are very much, you know, what I would consider like gateway games to, you know, those are like the new Monopoly in life. Those are like the basic, not the basic, but like those are like the foundational board games that now exist in the new modern era of board games.
Absolutely.
Pandemic is fun, but it's you got to be careful when you play it with people. And if anybody who's listening to this hasn't played it before, it's a cooperative game. So you're not playing against the other players. You're all together on one team against the game. The trick of it is that it's a turn-based game where each player, you know, takes actions to make movements. However, if you have like one really, really strong voice in the group, you can end up having somebody who ends up like commanding you on like what you need to do. And telling you, like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it just becomes one person just making orders to give people the freedom to make their own decisions. As a group, you can discuss things, but you should never tell somebody what they have to do or even suggest what they should do. You got to let them come to that decision. And when you do it that way, the game becomes not only more challenging, but it becomes more rewarding because it's then you're actually cooperative working together. It's not just one person who's, like, you know, democratically just telling everybody what to do.
Well, we went with the dictatorial style. Mike and MP had played it before. I was new to the game, so I was asking questions. I'm like, so we should do this here, and then Mike and MP would just nod their heads like they were looking at a 4-year-old and saying, "Yes, Chris, that's what we should do here." No, I kid. But they kind of ran the game, but I still enjoyed it.
That's fair. I mean, especially because it was a new thing for you. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to when my kids are old enough to where we can have like board game night. Because I've got, I don't think you saw, but I have, when you were visited, I have like 30, 40 board games downstairs in my board game shelf. It's an entire shelving unit from IKEA full of board games. So something for everybody.
Absolutely. If we get this cabin weekend going and I'm able to come, you should bring a few.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. All right. So let's talk about fantasy. The reason why we're here, you know, we're a couple weeks away from getting to our divisional matchups, but more importantly, we're a couple weeks away from playoffs, right? So now the playoff picture is starting to come into view a little bit. Obviously, I assume someone would have to do the math, but I think mathematically, Mike is in playoffs. Locked in, no question.
No, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, he could lose out, end up at 7-6, and I don't know that 7-6 it guarantees you a spot, especially in light of the tie that we had last week. So I think if Mike, I don't know that mathematically he'll get anything will be guaranteed after this week after he curb stomps me, but it'll be 8-1 after this week and he should be all but in the playoffs.
Starting the condolences early. I like it.
I mean, have you seen my team this week? We'll get into it later.
Have you seen my team this week? Let's be honest there, Chief.
Yeah, but Johnny doesn't have, you know, well, actually, yeah, your team sucks.
Team sucks, and he, you know, yeah. I mean, David Johnson's on bye, which didn't help. But then, you know, you traded him to Cowboys defense. You know, it's one of those things where I look at my team and I go, I should probably make a trade. But, like, who out there really realistically, I only have, like, two assets that are worth trading for, right? I have David Johnson and Zeke. And so I'm just going to go put this out there. Those guys are on the block, and even Bell is on the block if someone wants to take a chance at him. I'm open to changing things up and shaking things up. Obviously, I'm not going to sell guys for pennies on the dollar, right? I want to keep things competitive, but I want to give myself a shot. So I'm just throwing this out there. I am open to trading those guys, and I will work diligently to even have a trade done before Sunday if people want to do that. So I'm just putting that out there.
Fair enough. I'll have to take a look. I don't know that I would have anything of note to give you to – especially this week when I have my whole bench is on bye at the moment. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I know we've had a couple of trades. Obviously you've been involved in most of the trades this year. I guess I feel surprised that there haven't been more trades, but maybe we needed to give it another week or two.
I think so. I think, you know, right before the deadline last year, we had a couple decent ones. I'm thinking, well, actually it was one involving me. It was the Devontae Freeman trade. But I don't know. It's a weird year for trades, and we've kind of gone over this before, but the market for running backs is so weird that people do not want to part with, and probably rightfully so, they do not want to part with a decent running back for, you know, a decent receiver. And people like me, I'm not willing to give up a Robert Woods or a kind of maybe a number two-ish kind of receiver like that for a number two-ish running back.
Right.
Because I'd rather the consistency of Robert Woods than I would the hit or miss variety of running back that is the number two running back this year. So it's just very hard to kind of match the pieces to make a trade, I think, across the board. I don't know what your thoughts are, but that's kind of my general thinking on it is, and you see running backs and wide receivers usually the most traded commodities.
No, I mean, I would agree with that. I think it's obviously we know that running backs can have the highest upside, right? Especially if you go ahead and get yourself a pass catching running back. I think the challenge is that, you know, you have teams that basically don't want to give up those players for less historical value than they're worth. Right. So like, and for me, you know, I'm just using myself as an example with David Johnson was Zeke Elliott. Obviously right now Zeke is ahead of David Johnson in terms of like the pecking order for, you know, but I'm not going to give up David Johnson for, you know, a wider. I'm not going to give him up for. I would not do David Johnson for Robert Woods. That's not worth it to me. But from your point of view,
nor would I even offer that. I wouldn't expect you to take David Johnson or Robert Woods for David Johnson.
So it's tough because it's you got to find matching value, right? Where what is he realistically worth? Not in my head, like I, you know, obviously we always overvalue our own players, but realistically, what is he worth? And, you know, it's tough to look at it and say, okay, right now David Johnson, I believe, is the running back 12. And obviously this is his bye week, and there's been other bye weeks for other running backs. So things haven't completely evened out. But right now he's in that, let's say, 10 to 14 range. So he's essentially running back one. It's hard to look at that and say, okay, let me let me look at trading him for a wide receiver one, you know, straight up. But just because, just historically, that's just not the value that our running backs get. So
Well, typically trading a number one running back requires a number one ish receiver and another piece back. Usually that's the going rate.
Yes, I would agree. Traditionally. So it's just a matter of are they willing to go after them? You know, we have some teams that you've commented on that are deep. So is this the time, right? These next 3 weeks before the deadline hits, is this the time for those teams to take a look at their inventory and say, okay, you know what? I'm deep. I don't necessarily need all these things. Let me see if I can grab, you know, a high upside guy like a Zeke or Johnson, or maybe I want to take the risk on Bell. Bell's obviously, I think, the one guy that I'd be willing to move for. Obviously, you know, I can't move him right the second for what he should be worth, But the truth is that once he comes back, in my mind, he's going to be the guy. And therefore, even though he wasn't here the entire year, he now has, you know, essentially top five running back value, especially because I'm in the camp of, I believe that if he comes back, he's going to be the workhorse and they're going to rest James Conner. I realize that I know what they have in Conner. Why would they continue to work him, give him some rest, let him, you know, allow him to relax
just
a little bit.
And let Bell take over the rest of the year.
And let Bell take over the rest of the year, because obviously there's a very small chance that he's going to be there next year. And they know Connor's the guy. They know that he can do it. So why work him more than you have to? So right. that's kind of what
would you just to gauge your interest on that or how you kind of value Bell. If I offered you, and I'm not saying that I would do this because I don't think I would. If I gave you Robert Woods for Le'Veon Bell right now, would you take it?
You know, I'd have to think about it. Woods is what, like the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th wide receiver right now?
I think he's number 10. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know he's been fairly consistent. I know over the past couple of weeks he's kind of been down, as is the Rams offense. It's just, you know, it's given the week and the number of the week. I know he hasn't had a ton of touchdowns. You know, I would say, honestly, probably right this second, if I were to trade him before he comes back, I think Robert Woods is about approximate value that I'd be comfortable with. Once he comes back, obviously the price tag is going to go up. But,
of course, yeah.
You know, I just pulled up Robert Woods' profile. You know, 3, 6, 10, 5. Yeah, he's been consistent. I would probably say yes to that, honestly.
I'll ponder it, but I don't know that I want to part with him. It's just like, and I don't know that I want to take the risk of, and maybe I should, because, you know, maybe I need to roll the dice a little bit in the situation I'm in. And also I might try to punt on this week because I'm going to get creamed by Mike, but I don't know. I'll think about it. And I'll get back to you.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely do Bell straight up for OBJ or for Hopkins, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I definitely wouldn't do Hopkins. OBJ is the one I would think about in that scenario, but I don't know that I would want to part with him either. I would part with Woods because OBJ is also on bye this week. So if Bell – so for instance, like if I trade you Woods – I would then have OBJ coming back from bye next week. Bell's already had his bye. Therefore, I could, you know, theoretically, if Bell were to come back next week, I could roll with those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what things shake out, but just let people know. So let's get to this week's matchup. So, you know, my matchup's already rolling with Johnny. We'll dive into me first. So far through the third quarter, Rashard and Cook haven't done much, so that builds well for me because obviously, it's going to be a low scoring week for me. You know, I'm on the Chris Herndon train. Hopefully, he can keep his touchdown.
Who the hell is Chris Herndon?
He's the New York Jets tight end. He's had three straight weeks of touchdowns. So, you know, I'm on that train with Ebron on bye. I just needed to grab somebody.
Right.
Just a bye week fill-in, sure. And fun fact, Chris Herndon was born with six fingers on each hand. And,
well, he should be excellent at catching then.
Well, he doesn't have a six finger anymore. But you can search on YouTube.
Bummer.
He's got video of like the little nub of where the fingers used to be because they cut them off.
Can you imagine if he still had six fingers and had like a six finger glove out on the field and like just holding up his hands to intimidate opponents? He's like, look, I got 12 fingers, motherfucker. You know, like that would be so awesome.
Yeah. You know, other than that, I'm not super thrilled about my matchup with Johnny. I think obviously Trubisky's for me, Trubisky's punching above his weight class. Carson was a shrewd trade of his to get rid of Fitz. Even though Fitz went off last week, I think he got better than the deal.
I think that made sense for Johnny. I think that was a smart trade.
Marvin Jones now gets a huge boost with Golden Tate being gone.
Yep.
Adams has been like top three out of all wide receivers. He's top three, I think, in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. I think those three categories, he's top three in all of those. you know,
you poo-pooed him earlier in the year. I remember that podcast.
I did. I was wrong.
I was on the Davante Adams train, and you were standing in the station waving it as it left.
Yep, and I was 100% wrong on that. So I'm open admitting that. To be fair, it's only halfway through the year, but yeah, I mean, so far he's been great. Gabriel's a flyer. Obviously, Ingram's going to do some work, and he just got Dallas. An interesting stat about Dallas, the Dallas defense, is that so far this year they've been only giving up an average of like 17 points per game, and the Tennessee offense has only scored an average of like 18 points a game. So to me, you know, assuming those two things work together, he's going to have a decent showing from the Dallas defense. The only problem is that the Dallas defense, while they've been very good about limiting points, they've not been great about limiting yards, and they've had very few turnovers, which obviously is where a lot of our points come from.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping that the Dallas defense will be in that 7-12 range. That's where I'm hoping he ends up. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, you need to win this week. You need a monster game from Elliott and Johnson. You need Cousins to get you at least into the 20s. And then cross your fingers on everybody else in your lineup.
Yep, pretty much.
That's kind of how it works.
Well, you know, Fitzpatrick starting benefits Godwin. Lockett, you know, he'll catch a touchdown. He's got one, two, three, four, five. Six touchdowns for the year, so I'll take that. Mike Williams is a flyer. I think he's immensely talented. I think he's not benefited recently because of some game script stuff going on. I think he's capable of having, you know, a monster game. So we'll see. Obviously, mm-hmm. I like Cousins and I like the Seahawks defense. What I'm curious to see is now that the Browns have completely shuffled their organization, I'm curious to see what kind of work Duke's going to get. I believe I saw something on Twitter that said that the new offensive coordinator said, like, oh, we want to get Duke Johnson the ball 40 times a game. Obviously, that's completely unrealistic. But the fact is that when you give him snaps and you give him touches, he produces like he did last year. So I'm hoping that this change will make him a little bit more valuable, especially now that Carlos Hyde is gone. So,
oh, sorry. I didn't realize that was Duke Johnson.
Oh, yeah. David Johnson's on. My bad. I completely thought
that that was David Johnson. I just saw D. Johnson. And I forgot you had two of them. So.
Yep.
My bad there.
Yep. So moving on, we got Gelch and we got O'Brien. You know, obviously Gelch has had some great scoring games and just been out-dueled. This, to me, reeks of another one of those games. I think, you know, I think O'Brien got his bad game out of the way last week. I think he'll be back to form this week. It's interesting to me that he's going with Roethlisberger instead of dropping Winston and picking somebody up off of waivers. I mean, if I remember correctly, there was...
He did pick up Dak Prescott today off of waivers.
Oh, he did. Okay, I see here. Yes. Yeah, that's not bad. You know, honestly, you're going to think things are strange. I think Brock Osweiler is a decent streamer this week. I think Brock Osweiler is going to get you 20 points out of the Jets off of the Jets defense. So if anybody's still looking for a bye week fill-in, Brock Osweiler is the guy that I would endorse.
Raheem Mostert just had a 60-yard touchdown sitting on Gelch's bench, by the way.
Thank God. Oh, that's
fantastic. As I'm watching this Niners game here in my hotel.
So yeah, sorry,
he just took a pitch 60 yards to the house.
He must be so mad at himself because he's having – I mean, to be fair, he's not going to start Mostert over Gordon, Connor, or Lindsay. So I don't – you know, he's in fine position. I'm curious to see what Cooper does this week. You know, on his first week with Dallas, traditionally players who change teams mid-year don't do that well the rest of the year, right?
Right.
That's a whole new thing for them. But Cooper is immensely talented. So we'll see.
I'll say this for Cooper. I mean, it can't get much worse than, you know,
exactly.
Inconsistencies in Oakland. So I think in that sense, he only has up to go in Dallas.
Yeah, and Dak
you've seen
Prescott,
what the floor is. Yeah.
Prescott, to me, is an upgrade over Carr. With Zeke running and that offensive line, even though the offensive line has not been as great as they have been in the past, with Zeke, that takes, I think, some of the pressure off of Cooper. So hopefully he won't see as many double teams as he was seeing so far this year. I saw a stat on Twitter. I apologize. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was something like Cooper was top five, I believe, in number of routes run that feature double coverage. So anytime that happens, this is not easy, right? So we'll see. You know, Kiki should step back in over for Will Fuller, even though they just traded for Demaryius Thomas. I don't think that he can – I don't think he can transition, but we'll see. We'll see
usage right away, yeah.
So, you know, for me, I still lean O'Brien.
Joe O'Brien just because of the upside. I could see a scenario in which Gelch wins this week. It would involve Connor and Gordon having really solid games and Joe's team, you know, maybe – having another week like they did last week. But I think overall I would give Joe O'Brien maybe a 3-4 shot of winning this week.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Next up we have Gates versus Ryan. You know, I look at this matchup and obviously the scoring
Goop, not projection. Just Gates. We gotta include both of them in there.
You're right, I apologize. You know, I look at this and on paper, Goop's team should be better. But I just have a feeling this week that Ryan's gonna go like $120, and I think he's gonna steal this one out in a close matchup against Scoop.
Interesting, Chaz. Call him the upset here. I mean, possible. Ryan's team is not devoid of talent. It's just had guys that you know have just underperformed, and you know like. Olsen was hurt for a while, and Gronk has not been himself this year. Baldwin has underperformed from where he was. Kenyon Drake has had some decent weeks of late, but for a while there, he was a disaster. You know, so it looks like a decent team, but it's just underperformed, and that's why Ryan's kind of in the situation where he is now. As for the Goopers. I mean, their team is solid, and I feel like they should be fine. What's that?
Did Mostert just run for another touchdown? 50-yard touchdown by Mostert.
No, that was the one I think I was telling you.
Oh, about. Okay, sorry. Okay, yeah, sorry.
50-60 yards. It was in that range.
My app must be yeah. Okay, yeah. My app is slow to update.
They have more upside. They have they have more weapons. Quite frankly, on their team, and again, it's another case of yes, I think Ryan's team could win, but I just think the odds favor the Goopers too much, even though the projection is close.
Fair enough. Next up, we got Kat and the Beanpole Prime, Mr. Mancuso. You know, Kat's team's been coming on strong. I could see her stealing this one from her division. Non-division mate, or her. God, what am I trying to think of?
They're not affiliated in any way in this league. They're just two opponents.
No, they are affiliated in the sense that her rival, this is her rival's counterpart. Beanpole. That's where I was going with that.
Okay, right.
That was a long meandering route to get to that. I apologize. Okay.
Her team has come on strong, like you said. And Joe's team has really taken a hit, especially at the running back position. It hasn't quite been what it was earlier in the year. I still look at his receivers, and it's a formidable group. Especially over Cats. Like you look at the three guys Mancuso starting at receiver and flex versus Cats, and I think Mancuso has a pretty big advantage there, even though Cat does have Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Hunt and Collins are enough to make up the difference, and especially Joe has the advantage of quarterback to Rodgers over Flacco this week. So I like Joe to take the victory here, probably pretty easily this week.
Okay, that's fair. I can see that. I'm still on Cat's side. We got Tim versus we got Taco versus Jake. Tim is. I assume going to start the Pittsburgh defense against Baltimore. He doesn't have a defense in there now. And Jake's starting off a little slow with Matt Breida not doing a ton. If Breida doesn't score, I think this evens this game out a little bit. He also has Ertz on bye. So does he have another tight end? Oh, yeah, that's right. He traded for Hooper. So he's got to put Hooper in.
Yes, he got Hooper.
So Taco's got the parts to do it. It's just a question of, you know, he needs Ridley. Really needs to get back on track, right? He started off super hot and then it's just cooled impeccably.
You can kind of see that. I mean, that was touchdown regression coming. Like, you know, he was having games where he was getting only like 3 or 4 catches, but 2 of them were going for touchdowns. Yep. Like, it was like, it's classic touchdown regression. You know, so I'm not surprised that Ridley has cooled off as the weeks have gone on here. Just in general, though, with Tim in Goop getting that tie last week, I'm of the opinion that tie was devastating for anybody else who's kind of in the hunt for the wild card, because I think it raises that last playoff spot by a half a game almost no matter what happens here. Mm-hmm. It could mean that if you're 7-6, you might be on the outside looking in, because both of them could conceivably finish at 7-5-1, and you're just kind of shit out of luck at that point. I really do think that that's going to have huge implications coming down the stretch here. Basically, now anybody's tiebreaker advantage that they might have had over those two teams is gone. So, I really think that tie is going to have some wide reverberations as we go down the stretch here.
Okay, I think that's fair. That's a good point. You know, obviously, I would prefer if Taco won this game to have any shot. I mean, I'm technically 3 games back, but with division games still coming up, if I can pull out 4 of the next 5 victories, I can maybe sneak in at 6-7, 7-6. Maybe I need to win 5 straight. Who knows? I mean, realistically for me, I just don't want to end up as the loser. The last place finisher. So that's kind of where my mindset is right now. And then finally, we have your game. Obviously, you're off to a great start with Kittle and a touchdown and 100 yards. So it's a good, strong start for you. You know, the Washington defense, I don't blame you for keeping them in. They've been, sneakily good. I believe that they're longest. They've been extremely stout against the run. The most rushing yards I think they've given up is like 40 yards to a rusher this year in the game. Yeah. So they've just been, you know, by doing that, it allows them to really just pin their ears back and go after people. So, and I believe they just picked up Clinton Dix, correct?
They did, Packers. Yes.
I think that helps even more. So, you know, I think the Washington defense is going to serve you well. I think Geronimo Allison, I think, is the only one that I'm not sure about because – what is it, Marquez, whatever, Scantling, whatever.
Yeah,
Marquez, MVSB, yeah, whatever.
But the thing is, Chaz, I don't have a choice.
Okay, that's fair.
The way my bench is currently constructed, compared with what's on the waiver wire, I'm just like, well, maybe Geronimo Allison catches a deep ball for a touchdown, or he gets a touchdown with Aaron Rodgers throwing to him in a game that, you know, probably is a high scoring game. That's honestly what I'm hoping for. I have so many buys this week, and I look on the waiver wire and I'm like, well, I actually would prefer to start Allison over any of these other guys at the moment. So, I mean, I just have no choice.
That's fair. That actually explains why you bid so big on DJ Moore, who, by the way, was a player that I drafted that I thought had upside for this year, and I just didn't hold on to him long enough, obviously. So I think he's starting to come on.
He's still probably at the end of the day, he's still probably the 4th most targeted person in that Carolina passing game, mm-hmm, behind McCaffrey, Olsen, and Funchess. Although I think he could eat into Funchess's production a little bit potentially, but I bid so big on him because I just think, like, okay, if this guy's coming on, almost everybody else who was on the waiver wire right now was a known commodity. I'm like, this guy has like the only bit of upside left on the waiver wire, and it's getting late in the year. So I was like, if this guy turns out to be something, I want to be the guy that has him. So that's okay. That's why I went so heavy on him.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, this is just a bi-apocalypse type of week for you. You just got to survive this week. Maybe it's a throw-away for you. We'll see. But you don't know. You might be able to sneak one out here.
I doubt. Even with Kittle's very good game so far, it's Mike. The floor for Mike's team is so high, like it's ridiculous. Like because he has Cam and Gurley and Julio and James White, who's always going to at least get you a couple points, if not, you know, into the high teens. the floor is just so high and the upside is so high. It's the combination of both. I think Joe O'Brien still has a very explosive team, and but right now I think with what Mike has done the last few weeks, he's just shown that his team is just like on another level, I think, from the rest of the league right now. We'll see how that changes. Does Latavius Murray, is he still as productive? You know, can he, or, you know, is Dalvin Cook going to stay injured for the rest of the year? Basically, is Marlon Mack going to continue to be a thing? Is, you know, but that, those are all ancillary questions, because the rest of his roster is so good that I just don't see how, outside of injury, that Mike's team isn't the one seed and the favorite to win the title right now.
I mean, obviously, it's hard to argue with that. I would be curious to go back and see, and obviously Mancuso is going to, would have to fact check this. In terms of, you know, obviously every year Mike has some of the fewest roster moves in terms of like picking up players and trades. I'd be curious if Mancuso was able to track lowest number of like starters on a team for the given year, because I feel like Mike's team is basically week in and week out the same team outside of like, you know, a bye game and maybe his flex player. I feel like he's basically had the same lineup the entire year.
Yep.
Especially since he made the trade for James White. So I get it. You know, part of it obviously is you know, the luck of the fantasy gods in terms of things breaking right for him. But obviously, you know, his fantasy knowledge can't be denied, and his ability to make good picks in fantasy can't be.
Why do we continue to let him have Cam Newton for so cheap? Why do we do that as a league? Like, come on, everybody. Like, next year Cam needs to at least go into the double digits. Like, Mike stole him for, I want to say, $6 this year.
I think it was nine.
You know, nine, but still, or whatever.
That's,
but still
very cheap. I would agree with that. Unfortunately, I wasn't in a position to be on that sweepstakes.
Neither was I. Otherwise, I would have somehow ended up with Tom Brady this year.
Otherwise, I would have. Hey, you did a good job getting rid of Tom Brady. That's worked out well for you, so.
Yeah, well, we can debate that at another time. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about Kittle right now. After his last catch, it looked like he might have gotten hurt. So I'm a little concerned about that. Not necessarily for this week, but going forward. I don't think the announcers made too much of it, but I saw him run off the field, and he looked like he was hobbling. So a little concerned about George Kittle at this very moment. Hopefully he gets back in the game. Hasn't been back in since, so.
Gotcha.
We'll see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that wraps up. That's about our time for the week. Anything else you wanted to talk about before we hop off and let you get back to the, you know, getting ready to settle in for the night? So you can. Oh, I guess it's still early for you, isn't it? It's still.
It's 7:30 out here. Okay. I'm probably gonna go get some dinner and maybe go to a bar or two. But yeah, it's I'm on a long work trip right now. But at the end of it, I will end up in South Bend for the Florida State game. I will be arriving on game day, actually, the first time I've ever really done that. I'm flying into South Bend on about maybe 4 hours before the game.
Nice.
And then, fly in, and then I'm there for the journalism committee thing on Sunday and Monday morning, and then I fly out Monday afternoon. So if anybody, I know Gelch will be there, so hopefully we can link up. Riley's going to be there. But if anybody else happens to be there, let me know.
Okay, sounds great. Well, again, once already, thanks again. Please, if you have questions, feel free to submit them. We haven't had any questions since, I think, like week 3 or 4. So I'd be curious to see if someone has the balls to do it. Other than that, please rate us, subscribe us, and we'll see you next time on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.